The Way of the Wise Art, Level 2, The Christ Mysteries, Module 0, Emptiness, The Colour Orange. Welcome once again to The Way of the Wise Art. The Wise Art is a transmission of the ancient spiritual mysteries of the West. The Western mysteries, like the Eastern mysteries, contain a number of different expressions. In ancient times, a candidate for the mysteries would have to make a choice after a time of preparation. By the end of the initial teachings, he or she would have enough self-knowledge to choose one expression of the mysteries and enter that particular mystery school. One term for this choice was to enter the temple. In level 2 of the Wise Art, we enter the temple. In these days of the 21st century, the temples, of course, are no longer physical buildings. Instead, sincere seekers after spiritual truth will find that certain avenues of spiritual investigation and understanding open up to them. After a probationary period, they will find they are automatically attracted to a particular expression or mystery. These mysteries are known by different names: Sufism, Shamanism, Theosophy, Kabbalah. It is a long list. You, however, have been attracted to something distinctly different. The Wise Art at level 2 now becomes a journey into the Christ mystery. We begin, as before, with number 0. Open again your book of the Wise Art to number 0. On the two pages that comprise module 0, we find 5 images and a verse. You are familiar with these 6 items from level 1. You may have noticed at the beginning that we added a 7th element. The colour for this module is the colour orange. Now we shall add an 8th element. This element, only visible from level 2, is the Bible. The name Bible simply comes from the Greek word for book. It is, however, a special book, for it is the record of the mysteries of Christ. We know the Bible as a collection of sacred scriptures of Judaism and Christianity. There are in the world many collections of sacred scriptures, and they hold the records of particular mystery schools. The Quran holds the mysteries of Islam, the Upanishads and the Vedas, the mysteries of Vedanta. The Lotus Sutra holds the mysteries of Buddhism, and so on. You will notice I have used the term mystery school rather than the term religion. Mystery implies something that has to be discovered or unveiled. A mystery is hidden from normal sight. And a writing, when it serves as the record of the mystery, takes on different dimensions. It becomes, in a sense, a living being. Over several modules in level 1, we discussed the fourfold structure of the human being. We possess a physical body which we share with the mineral kingdom. We share an etheric level with the plant kingdom, and an astral level with the animals. Unique to humans is the soul, created by the forces of the I Am, the seed of divine consciousness. Imagine, if you will for a moment, the Bible, or any other sacred writing, as a fourfold being also. It possesses an outer level. This is the letters, words, and language content. It is also the literal meaning extracted from this content. Let us take as an example the story of the baptism of Jesus. This is from John chapter 1, verses 29 and 32. The next day he, that is John, sees Jesus coming towards him, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who is taking away the sin of the world." John bore witness, saying, "I beheld the Holy Spirit descending out of heaven like a dove and resting upon him." Now, I have extracted the description from the Gospel of St. John, but this incident is recorded in slightly different form in each of the Gospels, so it was obviously considered of vital importance. Jesus goes to John the Baptist. He is baptized by him through immersion in the River Jordan. Something unusual happens after the baptism. This is described as the heavens opening in the other three Gospels. In all four Gospels, John the Baptist perceives something he calls the descent of the Holy Spirit like a dove that remains upon Jesus. Now, this literal understanding, this literal record, is the physical body of the scripture. The Bible has a second level. This could be called the allegorical or metaphorical level, but we will call it the metaphysical level. When we look at the scriptures through this particular lens, then we are able to relate the stories as though they were processes in our own life. To take the same example again, John the Baptist becomes our intellectual understanding of truth. If we begin from this level and genuinely work to express this truth within life, then one day we shall meet the real spiritual truth represented by Jesus. And if we accept this experience, then we shall begin to live from the level of spirit rather than the level of intellect. The Bible also has a third body or level of understanding. This is the mystery level. Sometimes it is also called the occult level. For both mystery and occult refer to something hidden from ordinary perception. If we return once again to the baptism of Jesus, then the core of that story is the vision of John that the Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove from heaven. If we understand this story on the level of the mystery, then we discover that we are witnesses to the descent of the Christ from the spiritual worlds to unite with the human named Jesus. Finally, the fourth level of the scripture is the mystical or experiential level. Here, nothing can be communicated in words because the communication is directly between the wisdom element of the scripture and the consciousness of the reader. To develop this mystical understanding, we simply need to become the reader. Reverend Mario Schoonmaker set aside some day, every day, to simply read. He read the whole Bible through every year, and his understanding deepened with each year of his life. Let us now address our attention to the images and verse for Module 0. In Level 1, this module was subtitled Before the Beginning. And here in the second level, we shall direct our attention to the origins of Christ. Our question here is, who is Christ? The central image again is the key. It is, as before, a mirror. What do you see when you gaze into a mirror? Of course, an image of self. Here is our first answer. Christ is an image of self. The mirror in the Book of the Wise Art is not just an ordinary mirror. It is, naturally, a magic mirror. It has the property that it reflects back at us, not just a physical image, but it reflects who we are in the core of our being. Turn for a moment in your book to the pages of the 9. I'll just give you a little moment to look for the 9s and turn the pages over. Here, the central picture, the image of 9 spheres, is such an image as might be reflected back at us from the magic mirror. The 7 inner spheres represent the energy centres which sustain our physical, mental and emotional life. The bottom sphere represents the earth energies. The top sphere, the sun, represents our connection with the divine. The divine, as it were, rests above the top of your head. At our particular stage of evolution, only a portion of our real self can work through us. You may well ask, if only a part of my divine self works through me at this moment, where is the rest of it? The answer is given in a phrase coined by St. Paul. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Your life is hid with Christ in God. A 21st century way of saying this is that our real self remains mostly in the spiritual worlds. Turn back now to the Module 0 pages in the book. The first 4 lines of the verse read, "Man, therefore, seek not God to scan. The proper study of mankind is man. The Wisard seeks to study man, but what is odd, through viewing man, arrives at knowing God." Reverend Mario used to say that in spiritual investigation, we first confront self. This is where we begin. But if we are genuine in our self-examination, then our horizons begin to open up, and the walls that seem to lock in our perception start to dissolve. William Blake put it this way: "If the doors of perception were cleansed, everything would appear to man as it is, infinite." The Wisard is a person who is learning to live consciously. Consciousness has the strange property that the more we use it, the more we have. The more we become conscious of who we are, conscious of who we are beyond the confines of a physical body and an earthly existence, the more we discover we are truly a being of the spiritual worlds, and in our true nature, we are divine. Direct your attention at this stage to the engraving in the top right-hand corner of the image page. This picture has a message for us. It says, "You have encapsulated yourself in a physical body, like an egg. Outside the comfort of the egg awaits the real self. It holds a sword in readiness for the moment when it may, with one swift blow, penetrate the eggshell that shuts out the greater reality. These short, sharp incursions of the real self into our reality may manifest as a sudden flash of insight, an inrush of new ideas and perspectives, an overwhelming overflow of love and compassion. On rare occasions, even as a mystical experience." Now look at the image at the top left-hand corner of the page. The image in this place is the essence of the archetype of the number. The essence of the zero is the circle. This circle has no center marked. In the 14th century, a philosopher declared, "God is a circle, whose circumference is nowhere and whose center is everywhere." Let me repeat this remarkable phrase again. God is a circle whose circumference is nowhere, but whose center is everywhere. Don't try to interpret this as a mental concept. Let it wash over you and absorb it within. The closest we can come to understanding the circle with no circumference is to contemplate silence for a moment. Silence has no end. It goes on and on forever. But each of us sits at the center of this silence. So the center of silence is wherever there is a listener. In other words, silence is that circle whose circumference is nowhere but whose center is everywhere. Silence has its own power. It has the power of infinite potential, for anything may emerge from silence. Turn over the page for a moment and look at the image at the top corner of the Module 1 pictures. This is the top right-hand corner. You will see a circle with a dot at the center. The dot now defines the circle. It has both a center and a circumference. The dot is the word that is heard in the silence. It is a note sung, a chord played. It is the idea that flashes into existence from nowhere. The dot at the center of the circle is the center of our own self-awareness, is the consciousness that says, "I am." It is Christ. In the Gospel of St. John, Christ is called the Word. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So run most translations of the first verse of John's Gospel. To be a literal translation from the Greek original, however, this should read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God." There are then two gods. The Word is one God, But what do we know of the other God? The other God is silence. Without silence, the word has no power. Indeed, the word has no existence. Silence, then, is father to the word. Or to put it the other way, the word is son to the silence. Speech distinguishes humanity from the other members of the animal kingdom. That is because speech is a result of the I am working upon the other bodies. The old saying, words have power, is a memory of the changes wrought upon consciousness by the I am over hundreds of thousands of years. Here is another way to understand Christ. Christ, the I am, is the evolutionary power that over millennia will transform humanity into new beings. This knowledge was known to the initiates of every mystery school, and that is why Jesus could say to his critics, "Is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods?" That is from chapter 10 of St. John. That is, we are potentially gods, gods in the making. The wise art puts it this way: by eyeing each external action as it comes to pass, confronts himself, the world's his looking glass. Unseen he passes, footsteps lightly trod, for no one sees the wizard, seeing God. A god is a power in the world. There is a strange paradox here. Evolution will take its slow course. In perhaps another few hundred thousand years, or perhaps a million years, humanity will evolve into something new. On the other hand, once we become aware of this process within self, we can actually become a power within our own evolution. We can speed up the process a thousandfold. The key is the mirror. The more we see the world as a mirror to our inner self, the more our inner self is revealed to us. The more we perceive our inner self, the more we discover that our experiences within the world are created and guided by this real self. The more we discover the power of this real self, the more we understand that what we see in the mirror is, in fact, God. I would like to relate a story. It is called The Story of the Two Fools. In the beginning of the world, at the time when human souls first came into physical incarnation, the gods called a council. The problem was that humans were never meant to take on physical bodies, but to evolve under the protection of the higher spiritual powers in the spiritual worlds. The general opinion of the council was that human beings had been foolish. One of the gods said, "Let us make use of the fool within the human soul, and we shall send the forces of karma to work within the astral. Like a dog, these forces will work away and worry every soul, until eventually the soul of its own accord will turn around, seek its great destiny, and embark upon the return to spirit." So it was decided. Millennia passed, and despite the fear, the pain, and the loss, all the suffering of the soul only made human beings hold ever more fast to their earth existence. It became clear to the gods that the strategy was imperfect. Humans were, in fact, in danger of completely severing their connection with the higher worlds. so that the seed of the divine would never come to flower. So it was, the gods held another council. After much discussion, it was decided that something drastic needed to be done. Finally, the youngest god, seated at the council table, proposed a radical plan. "Our plan," he said, "was incomplete. It was incomplete because we, the gods, do not know what it means to be human. We do not know the pain of becoming imprisoned within a physical body and becoming separated from the song of the cosmos. Let one of us do this. Leave our infinite consciousness and exchange it for limits and finiteness. Let us surrender freedom for a restriction, light for darkness, wings for chains. Then, with only a seed of our former omnipotence, let us transform this body into light. Let us, by being a new direction, create that new direction for humanity." There was silence for 1,000 years while the gods considered this audacious strategy. Finally, the head of the council raised the objection that had been in the mind of every god seated at the table. "Who will do this?" And the youngest god said, "I will." So it was decided. "Therefore, there are two fools who tread this world. The first knows not where they come from, nor where they are going. This fool is a victim of their own desires, a directionless wanderer in an alien world. The dog of cause and effect nips at their ankles and tears their clothing. This is the fool of the image of the bottom left-hand corner of the picture page, who only knows to look backwards. The second fool treads lightly amongst the obstacles and obstructions of the physical world. He or she enters this journey by choice. Karma, in the form of obligations, debts, and tasks, is a companion who shares the journey and rejoices at the accomplishment of the soul. The second fool owns nothing, possesses nothing, and so is neither owned nor possessed. They are accompanied on their journey by the gifts of freedom, clarity, and choice. This is the fool of the image of the bottom right-hand corner of the picture page, the soul who freely descends into incarnation not because karma would compel them, but because they choose to do so, and because they act out of freedom and choice, they will impart these gifts to others. Such an individual has taken upon themselves the pattern of the Holy Fool, the pattern of the Christ." The Christ, then, is that potency from the highest spiritual worlds who descended voluntarily into the body of a man known to history as Jesus of Nazareth. What John the Baptist saw with the eyes of spiritual sight was the descent of this being from spiritual heights to become, so to speak, the soul of Jesus, and in so doing enter into the full experience of human life and death. There is far too much to this story to be related here. The reason why Jesus was chosen and how his physical, etheric, and astral bodies were prepared over thousands of years can be read in part in the genealogies of Matthew and Luke, and also within the Old Testament of the Bible. In each of the two modules of Level 2, we shall try and come to grips with one aspect of the Christ mystery. The aspect of the mystery, the lens, if you like, through which we view Christ, which belongs to module zero, is emptiness. In level one, we attempted a simple exercise to discover the baggage we carry through life. Now in level two, the exercise is much more difficult, for we shall for a moment strive to emulate the act of Christ in entering into the confined consciousness of the physical world. As the music returns, first of all, imagine that you are at the center of a cloud of the color orange. This is the color of the infinite consciousness of Christ before he entered into the finite consciousness of the human condition. St. Paul explains the daring of Christ in dramatic fashion when he states, "Hold this consciousness within you, as also Christ Jesus did, who being in the form of a God did not consider seizing equality with God, but emptied himself." He emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, coming into the likeness of humanity. As the music returns and the inner silence grows, begin by considering this little text. Hold it inside your consciousness for a moment. Now put yourself in the place of Christ, for we also have descended from the spiritual worlds where we were full of knowledge and wisdom. Our descent also required us to empty ourselves of the fullness of being we had in spirit. We enter into incarnation as empty beings. Quickly, the experiences of life write upon those pages which formerly were blank. The book of our life becomes filled with memories, habits, assumptions, concepts, labels and conditions. In your imagination, open this inner book. Where you have opened it is written those thoughts and fears which currently occupy your normal consciousness. Take note of these concerns, but do not attach yourself to them. Now allow the writing to dissolve and fade away until the pages of your book return to their pristine purity. As you sit quietly, thoughts will come towards you. Review them and allow them to pass. Eventually, you will experience for at least a moment a space, an emptiness within the mind. This is the emptiness of Christ, and for the time in which you are embraced by the emptiness of your own consciousness, know that you are held in the embrace of Christ. So shall it be.